Well, what a day, right? What a brilliant, brilliant day to have baptisms. The special day where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a day to see this picture from Katie and Nicola and Carmen of them sharing in the resurrection life of Jesus. Having said that, just for the record, any day is a good day to celebrate new life in Christ, right? So we don't want to wait another year until we fill this baptismal pool again. So if you're here and you know that you love the Lord Jesus, that you are His, that you are following after Him, and you've not gone through the waters of baptism as a believer yet, then we would really encourage you to do that. And we would love it if you come and speak to us about that and chat it through. But it is a lovely thing to do on Easter Sunday. You see, on Easter Sunday, churches generally try and make a very special effort to focus on the resurrection of Jesus. And sometimes that goes okay, but then other times not so much. So for example, if we put the first slide up here, I'm not sure that that kind of passive-aggressive snark is really what folk want to see as they walk into church. Now, just for the record, if you are a semi-annual worship, you really are very welcome, right? But it's a little passive-aggressive, that sign, isn't it? I'm just not sure that's the kind of vibe that we want to set. But then there was almost an even worse sign that went up this week in York, in a Com Parish church. Some of you will have seen this. It's been kicking about Facebook. They received this sign from the printers. Chris is risen. Don't say he is risen indeed. Apart from, where's Chris Milne? There he is. So Chris, come on, come in. You need to come into the body of the cart here, because this picture reminded me of one of my favorite ever baptism moments, which is the next picture here. Do you remember that? Let's see the rocky hands, Chris. Yeah. Chris is risen. In Christ. It's a beautiful thing. So, Chris, you can have that sign, but for anyone else, that's a bit of a failure of a sign. Like one time, I used to be part of Jared Street Baptist Church, and they were teaching a brand new song, so a song that maybe some of you will know, and it has a very grand chorus. And instead of singing the words, "We'll honor him in perfect song," the words came up on the screen saying, "We'll honor Jim in perfect song." So Jim was really blessed that morning, but I'm not sure what God thought about that. So, failure, challenge, difficulty. We all know a little bit of that in our lives, right? We all know what it's like to fail. We all know what it's like to get something wrong. I'm not talking about Chris being risen or honoring Jim, but I'm talking about more serious struggles that we face day in, day out. So many of us in these weeks, in these months recently, have been dealing with failures, struggles, difficulties, things where we know that we have not lived as we should have. And the question is this: does Easter have anything to say to those moments? You see, no matter how old you are today, from the youngest to the oldest, we all know something of failure. We all know that feeling when we have let people down, where we have perhaps stumbled with the same issue that comes up time and time again in our life, where we can have that sense of disappointment that we know that we have let others down, and where we find ourselves just now, we think, this is not what I thought life would be like. I'm not where I would be right now in life. We all know that feeling from time to time. We all know a sense of fear and worry that can press in, and where we realize that we've made mistakes and we have deep regret and shame about it. And the question is, can Easter make any difference to those times? Can Easter make any difference to those moments where we wake up in the middle of the night gutted and anxious and nervous because of the state of our lives just now? Well, the Bible is very clear and honest about the reality of failure. And so should we be too. Indeed, this morning we've heard Carmen and Nicola and Katie talk about some of their struggles, some of their difficulties. We've heard them share of ways that they weren't honoring God, and ways that they knew that they needed Him to save them from the wrong things that they've done. And then they spoke of this hope and this forgiveness and this new life that Christ can bring, this new clean slate, sense of being cleansed of their shame and their regret so that Jesus can lead them forward. And we can see this in the Easter stories. Yes, Easter does have something to say about our failures, about our difficulties.
We see it in the Easter story, and here's the thing. We don't just see it at a deep theological level, but actually, we're going to look at Mark chapter 16 just now, and we can see it right in the narrative of the story that Easter has something to say for all of us when we feel like we have failed, when we are struggling, when we've let people down, when we've let God down. So we're going to read from Mark chapter 16 in the first 8 verses there. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away for us and from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now there are two words in this passage that give us such hope. Of course, the passage is full of hope. He has risen, the angel said. Death is defeated. We need no longer worry about our greatest foe on this earth. Jesus is alive. We can share in his victory. Yes, amen. But there are two little words that are there which speak to this issue of dealing with our failures, and they deal with it in such a raw and striking way. It's in verse 7. Does anyone want to guess what the two little words are in verse 7? They come together. It's not up. Anyone got their Bible in front of them, want to guess? Verse 7. Anyone know the two words I'm thinking about? Okay, I'll put you out of your misery. The two words are this: and Peter. And Peter. Here's the question. Why does the angel mention Peter here? He was one of the disciples, right? So the angel could have just said, "Go and tell his disciples that Jesus is going to Galilee." Peter would have been included in that. So to say, "Tell his disciples and Peter," it's surely redundant, right? The "and Peter" bit, because it's included with the "and his disciples." It's like when someone told me before the service, "Martin, the bacon rolls are served. You should go through and get one." That last little bit, "you should go through and get one," is redundant, right? Because as soon as I know that the bacon rolls are served, I'm gone. It's like, you know, sorry, what were you saying as I run and get my plate? It's not necessary to say that second bit. And that's like here, "go tell his disciples." Well, Peter was one of the disciples. So why is the angel saying, "Go tell his disciples and Peter"? It's because Peter had known failure. Peter knew failure. And here's the message. Easter is for failures. That's the message today. It's encouraging, right? Easter is for failures. On Friday night, one of the reasons that I'm speaking on this morning is that on Friday night in our Good Friday communion service, we spent some time reflecting on Peter, on his denial of Jesus, how just some days before, 3 times with increasing coarseness, Peter had strenuously denied knowing Jesus, denied that he was with him, denied that he was one of his followers. We were reflecting on Friday night with great solemnity that how when the cock crowed after Peter had denied him for the 3rd time, that Jesus looked directly at Peter, and how Peter realized what he'd done and how he ran from that place weeping bitterly. Now, how do you think Peter felt in those days as Jesus died on the cross after his betrayal of Jesus? Can you imagine the sense of torment he was facing, knowing that the final words that he had said to Jesus were words of betrayal, words of abandonment, words of self-preservation, knowing that he had left Jesus for dead while he ran away to preserve himself and to keep himself safe in his own selfishness? Peter was a failure. He blew it. He messed up. And Easter is for people like Peter. Easter is for people like me. Easter is for people like all of us here. Easter is for failures. And here's the good news. Failure does not have the last word. Anglican pastor David Rosebery writes of this passage. He says, Peter's denial of Jesus was not going to be the final verdict on his life. And that's why this angel says, go and tell his disciples and Peter. Don't forget Peter. Don't forget Peter, who's so stuck in his shame and guilt, who's so messed up with the fact that he left Jesus like that. Don't forget Peter, who's feeling this sense of defeat and failure. Go and tell him that Jesus is alive and that he's leading you forward from this place. He's going to be in Galilee. Go and connect with Jesus. Move forward with him from this day forth. What's the message? The message is that forgiveness is possible. Hope is on offer. Restoration is available because Christ is risen. And he's leading you somewhere. He's leading you somewhere. So just like the angel said to the ladies that day, go and tell the disciples and Peter. So God would say to us today, any of us here who are racked with the sense of just feeling like life hasn't worked out the way that we thought it would, or just racked with shame and guilt because of the way we keep messing up time and time again, God says to us, know this, church, and you individually by your name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows you by name. He says, Christ is risen. Go and connect with him. Go and allow him to lead you forward. Easter is for failures, and failure does not have the last word. Does anyone have any regrets this morning? I do. I have things that I regret doing and saying and thinking and not doing and not thinking and not saying. Has anyone known defeat this last year? Perhaps in their external circumstances, or perhaps deep within their spirit, a sense of defeat, a sense of being lost. Have you denied Jesus like Peter did? Have you walked away from him? Have you chosen a different path? Perhaps a path of self-preservation. Perhaps a sense of fear has led you away from honoring and following Christ. Well, I want to say that I have. And we've heard today from this place that Carmen has known that sense of regret. And Nicola has. And Katie has. But the good news is that Easter is for failures. And failure does not have the last word. In a moment, we're going to sing these words. I was dead in the grave. I was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone away. Amen. May it be. Help me to believe this morning, God. That's what amen means. Amen. Amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because he lives. And then the middle eight says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Any of you need help facing tomorrow? Because he lives, all fear is gone. I know that he holds my life and my future in his hands. Failure will not have the last word for those who come to Christ and who are led forward by him in the power of the Spirit. Those who are found safe and secure in the risen King will know his peace for now and forevermore, no matter what comes this afternoon or this coming year, because Jesus is alive. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter. We thank you that the Lord Jesus spent some time with Peter and restored him to fullness of relationship with Christ, to fullness of service and faithfulness to Jesus. And I thank you that you're here with us, God, by your Spirit. We thank you that you can call us by name. And Lord, as we've heard very personal, real, meaningful stories from Carmen and Nicola and Katie today, I pray that you would call every one of us by name today, and that we know that no matter what struggles and difficulties we faced, that you are going ahead of us and you want us to meet you there, and you want us to walk forward from this place with you. So God, I just pray for anyone here this morning who does not know you yet, does not know that closeness of relationship. I pray, Father God, that you would draw them to yourself. You would bring new life in Christ that only you can bring by your Spirit. And that you would lead us forward from this place in the power and the victory of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray that we would, as he called us to, deny ourselves daily, to pick up our cross and to follow him, and in doing that, that we would know the fullness of life. Lead us on, God. Help us not go from here without knowing that we walk forward with the risen King at our side. Because you're alive. We thank you that failure does not have the last word. Amen.